Thank you for joining us for another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God, where our goal is to help you assimilate into the Kingdom of God so that super can become natural in your everyday life. And my name is Corey Pritchard, just excited about continuing on with the information that we've been sharing. And if you haven't, this is some things I'll do, is kind of like some housekeeping things as we start into this session. Then Victory in the Kingdom of God is a home. It's an online home, an address that you feel free to go into. It is built for you, right? It's built for me also, but it's built for anyone who has a desire to learn about the Kingdom of God. Again, when I say assimilate, I don't take that lightly. And if you haven't heard that word before or don't know what that word means, then assimilation is one where you should go out, find the definition of it. You can use an assimilate idea or concept as far as assimilation as it relates to your diet and food that's digested and made available, right? You can also look at that when we're talking about governments or countries as far as your citizenship, right? So just because you become a part of a country does not mean you've assimilated into the ways of that country, okay? So if someone has no clue about the ways of the United States and they've never lived here, maybe never visited before, then them earning or being granted citizenship is not going to make it so they have assimilated fully into the ways of the United States. And that person is not going to fully be able to take advantage of everything that's provided here in the United States until they truly are able to assimilate fully into the country, if that makes sense, in the ways of the country. And that's that way with any place, right? Not saying the United States is better or worse. If a United States citizen was to go to a country in Africa, go to Egypt, right, and take on citizenship in Egypt or South America or any place, then it would be the same thing. So when we're dealing with the Kingdom of God, don't take for granted that because you, if you have, right, if you have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and you've been baptized, don't take for granted that there is an entering in process, right? There is an assimilation process that only happens by your will and your choice, right? So if you have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's awesome. The reality is that we were born in darkness. We were born into this dark cosmos. And many of the things that we learn from the dark cosmos, right? We learn from this dark world. So ways that we treat people, right, that are not in alignment with the will of God, ways that we actually deal with resources and money, right, that are not in alignment with the Kingdom of God, things about our health, right, our fitness, our physical body, our mental state, like our mind, right, spiritually, right, inside a religion, just because you have read a Bible, don't take for granted that you understand the things of the Kingdom of God. Because many of the things that we learn, we've learned the truth, right? Or a truth or truths, because that's what's written in a Bible. But the way that we have applied those truths may not be correct, right? And as far as our experience, it's the way that we apply those truths. That's the way that we have an understanding about those truths that has the greatest benefit in our lives. So what I'm saying to you is that victoryinthekingdomofgod.com is a place willfully and intentionally put there for you to be able to grab information that you need. Now, is all of it there? Absolutely not, right? There's tons of things that you should learn on your own that may not be there, but it is a safe place that you can go where you can grab some things that will help you in your process of assimilating into God's kingdom and taking on the ways and culture of your kingdom. Does that make sense? Now, again, if you're a person that has not confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and you're still on the fence and trying to figure out what's going on, great. It's still a great place that you can go out. Like, you can listen to some audios, right? You can pull up some files. You can look at certain things. I absolutely suggest, no matter who you are, that you begin to look at the parables of Jesus Christ and to go through those parables, right, and do your best to see what's in there. You may or may not understand any of those or much of those, right? But it will help you to understand for yourself if this is something that you have a desire for or not. So if you're okay with not knowing what those parables are saying, then this may not be for you. But if you find yourself up late at night, waking up early in the morning, right, in your drive time, and you're pondering these things and it just won't let you go, right? It's probably a case where you really want those truths for yourself. And if with the kingdom of God specifically, unless you are unwilling to live without them, right? You have to get to a place in your own life where you decide, I'm not willing to live without God's kingdom. That's for you. It's an individual thing. That happened for me, right? That happened for the disciples of Jesus Christ, right? It happened for them. It happens for every individual that makes that decision. But if you are willing to live without it, then you will, right? And it doesn't matter if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord or not, then these inherited benefits, they won't manifest in your life. And that's just something that you're going to miss out on, right? So I don't want to be coy, right? I don't want to be shadowy, right? Or elusive about being able to share some things that I believe that we should have received directly. So again, I'm highly suggesting that you go there to the website, make yourself a home there. Know that it's built and made for you. If you haven't started in the process of Kingdom Curriculum, I keep saying it, but I don't know what the heck you waiting on. I don't know what you waiting on. I'm not trying to be your rabbi, right? So if you are looking for a rabbi, you have found one, not in me, right? But in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only rabbi. We don't have but one rabbi in the kingdom of God, and it's Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for men to have doctrines that to share all these cool and wonderful things to make them your rabbi, then victory of the kingdom of God in the kingdom of God is not for you, right? This podcast is not for you. I'm going to say that the kingdom of God is not for you, because Jesus Christ is our rabbi alone, right? He is our teacher. And we have decided, again, by our agreement, if we confess that he's Lord, if we say that we want to enter into his kingdom, then we're saying that we want to be his disciples, right? And be discipled in his ways only. So with that being said, then if you're looking for a rabbi, I'm not it. I ain't it. I'm not it, right? I'm just going to do my best to point my way, you know, point your way to Jesus and point out some things that Jesus said and what Jesus has said in me through the Holy Spirit. Whatever that has been said, I'm going to say that, right? But I'm not looking to be your rabbi, okay? So I'm saying to you, not for Corey, right? Not for my benefit, not to sway you to follow me, but to help you again in your process of assimilating into the kingdom of God, go ahead and register, right? It's a button. It's easy to click on. I'm only asking you, I think, for your first name and the first initial of your last name, I think is what it is. And asking you for permission to be able to teach you, because I'm not going to violate any person's will. It's a waste of time if you won't give me permission to be able to teach you, right? Or provide teaching. So that's pointless. But do that, right? It takes you just a few moments. You'll receive a link that you can jump in on. That link will first take you to RIP, or Rest in Peace to My Religion, right? And it just gives you a 2-hour process of myself. And I'm not trying to talk you, out of your religion, not trying to tell you to leave your church or religious institution, but I want to let you know exactly where I'm at. So it's no question. I don't want to have any surprises. Like, I'm not going to hold this to the end, right? You spent 3 or 4 sessions and then you find out it's a bomb that got dropped somewhere during the session that I don't have a religion, right? So coming in thinking that I call myself a Christian, I don't, right? If you call me a Christian, I'm not going to, fight you about that. But I don't have a religion. I don't need one. If it makes you feel comfortable, then you can try to figure out, how you're going to put an identification on me if it makes you comfortable, but I don't need it. So I don't want to say something like that or save something like that for the end if that makes you uncomfortable. But that 2-hour video, I believe it does a very good job of taking you through a walk for yourself personally of what your religion is, how you came to identify with that, what some other major religions are, and then what God has really provided for us as far as the kingdom of God and what makes that very unique. And you can decide if that's something that's for you or not. But then there's tons of stuff. I believe it's like 40 hours or more of content. With slides, right, that you can go through yourself. And then if you choose to own it after owning it, then you have slides that you can actually teach that to someone else and take them through, you know, some of those things. So obviously prove it is what I always say. Make sure that it is sound. Okay. And when I say sound, for someone that doesn't understand that, there's different ways of determining if information is sound as it concerns the Bible. And for many people, they may look at sound as, does it agree with this religious person, right, in their teaching? So they may have come up listening to a certain person or people or a group of people with doctrines. So the way that you try to determine if it's sound or not is if you're gonna measure it based on those people, right? That idea. And I would say that's not sound enough, right? There's tons of people and tons of doctrines and tons of things that just are not right. There's another premise that you can find at least two or three scriptures that align with each other. So as long as the individual has at least a few scriptures that align with each other, then you believe that that is sound, right? So if they're coming anywhere from Genesis to Revelation and they can make a connection to say that these scriptures are connected to be able to validate or prove their point, then that individual is deemed to be correct. I'm saying to you that that's not good enough, okay? Not in God's kingdom. Why? Because we're in a kingdom. In any kingdom, who do you use to set a standard? So I'll say this, that in many, many times in history, that the king set the measurement for a foot, okay? So we're saying here in the United States that a foot is 12 inches, right? But it's often in history, in kingdoms, that the standard of the foot of the king is what set the standard for measurement of a foot. Does that make sense? So that's why it's called a ruler, right? This ruler sets the standard for measurement. And oftentimes, again, in history, from I believe it's the elbow to the point to the tip of the longest finger, then the distance between that, right, is what was the distance of the ruler, right? And the king alone sets the standard of measurement. Now, I just want to be very, very direct with you that when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, then you want to be able to take on a kingdom mindset. So you say, okay, I don't care what they said the standard of measurement was. My standard of measurement for my entire life is Jesus Christ, right? His foot, his arm, right? His doctrines, his principles, his laws, they set the standard for my life. So when I'm looking at scriptures, I'm saying that it's not valid if it doesn't align with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? If Jesus Christ is teaching and he's using references from the Torah, and he's teaching to an audience, and those people are astonished, right? Not just by the miracles. When you go look at it, it's not just by the miracles. It's also by his doctrines. Why? Because he's taking the same scriptures, the same words, and he's coming to a different conclusion, right? Than the religious people that they're used to hearing. All these different rabbis, right, that people are used to learning under, Jesus Christ is coming to a different conclusion. Same scriptures, different conclusion, right? So in the kingdom of God, if I'm not coming to the conclusion that Jesus Christ has established, I'm wrong, right? So it doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter if someone else agrees with it. It doesn't matter if I have five or six scriptures that I'm using to say that it's validating my point. If it doesn't align with the doctrines of Jesus Christ and something he has clearly said, it's wrong, according to the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? So when you're proving the information that I'm sharing, I'm suggesting that you go in and make time to prove it against what Jesus Christ established. Take time, study the words of Jesus Christ, study the doctrines of Jesus Christ. They are very clear and plain throughout his entire ministry. I'm so thankful that God archived the words that he did through the disciples and through other individuals and used other men throughout history and women throughout history to be able to make it so I can have that. And it can be available to me. It's such a wonderful thing to be able to do that. I do not take that for granted. So what I'm saying to you is make time to be very intimate, right? And become acquainted with the words of Jesus Christ. And that should be how we should go about it. Jesus Christ is the rock, right? That according to what we believe here, right? He's the rock. His sayings, his teachings are the foundation. So if I can't build it, right? Doctrines, ideas, opinions, teachings on top of what Jesus Christ has taught and said, then I don't need it, right? Because there's not going to be a promise. Excuse me. It's not going to be a promise that the house is going to be able to stand outside of having it built on him. Okay, I hope that makes sense. I apologize. I just got a little bit choked up, so I want to make sure that I continue. Very good. So as we're going through this again, I want you to have the biggest and best opportunity to be able to do this. So another thing before we move forward, I actually had a recording where I shared a number of miracles that I've witnessed before in my life. I actually pulled that back. I may redo that at some point, but I want to make sure I'm being sensitive to people. As I sat down, I thought about it after I listened to the recording originally, and then I re-listened to the recording. You know, I was happy with the information as far as, you know, it being accurate information, but it involved other people. I didn't ask them permission to be able to share the information about them. I didn't contact them in any ways. It's easy the way I identified some of that to know who some of these people were. And I just said, it's just not something that's being sensitive to people. So I did pull that back. So I think that I will maybe re-record that and make it a little bit better to hide the identity of some of the people. But I want you to know, again, when I say super is natural in the kingdom of God, I'm not pump faking. It's not no caps, right, is what they call it. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. And I want to be very honest that what we're doing here on this podcast is absolutely unique. Now, I'm not saying that no one else is doing something like this. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that what we're doing here, it is a very unique thing. And the goal is to show you that there is no hypocrisy in the kingdom of God, right? I'm not trying to be an actor. I'm not trying to be no pretender. I'm not out here trying to get your money, right? I'm doing this at my own expense, right? And the expense of my family, time and money-wise, to be able to put these things out there in place. And I'm not asking you for anything, right? It's not to boast or anything. It's just a case where this is from my heart and I want it to happen for you and I'm being transparent. I'm not lying. At any point, you can reach out to me, right? Through email, through social media, you know, telephone, whatever it is, and we can talk. We can sit down for dinner. We can sit down for lunch, right? We can do a video call, right, through Meet or through, what is it, Zoom or any of the other online platforms. Like, I'm very transparent. If it's not working, I don't understand, I'm going to tell you. I'm just it. If I don't know it, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to try to give you something that I don't have, and I'm not going to try to pretend, okay? So I wanted to make sure I was taking time to be extremely transparent and to be able to lay the foundation for that, because through the week, you should be working through that kingdom curriculum. If this is something that's for you, right? If it's not, that's fine. But it doesn't make sense. Like, if I have had the experience and I know something that you don't know and it's valid, why wouldn't you want to know that? I'm still trying to figure it out. Why would you completely ignore the opportunity to know what I know? Right. I'm freely giving you what I knew. Right. At least up until the time that I created that. I'm freely giving to you. I'm not asking you for no admission. I'm not asking you for anything except for you to be able to be willing to invest the time so that you can get what you need to get. Right. So then, you know what you know, plus what I think I knew. So you actually would have the advantage. You understand how that goes? So if I'm telling you everything that I knew up until that point and then you knew something, you have the advantage. I don't have any idea what you know. I don't even know who you are, right? I'm listening. I'm speaking this out into the atmosphere, knowing that it's going to reach the people that it's supposed to reach. But I don't have no idea who you are. I don't know what you know. But I'm on this podcast sharing what I know, so you know what I know plus what you know. That gives you the advantage. How powerful is that? So don't miss the opportunity to be able to get into that. I truly do believe it. And I said it and I still believe it. I believe it's nearly impossible for anybody to complete the kingdom curriculum, apply, prove it first, prove what's there, apply those principles in their life and that reality in their life and not have massive life change on all three levels, right? All three levels, spirit, soul, and body. I don't think it's possible, right? Prove me, right? Go through it, do it. And if you don't have massive life change, call me out on that, right? Because it's not of me. I believe it really is of God. And again, it's not to celebrate Corey. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to learn it myself, because I had to learn it, right? Learning it, learning it in order to be able to share it. So it's just you getting in class with me, right? And that's a beautiful thing. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of this time together, and we're going to get back into looking at faith from the perspective of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, like, again, if you haven't got ahead of the class, get ahead of the class. Like, I don't own these notes, right? These are not things I got the monopoly on. Like, you go into the Strong's Concordance and you can just type in faith, right? Strong's Online Concordance, or you can buy concordance, physical concordance, or you can download an app, right? There's multiple apps that you can download on your phone that have a concordance. You can download that for free. This stuff is for free, right? Get into it and begin to compress your learning, right? You can reduce your learning curve by willing to commit it this way, right? Commit to it this way. So looking at faith from the perspective of Jesus Christ, here's the thing that for me, it really jumps out, is for an individual that doesn't understand that Jesus Christ was very specific and very intentional about the way that he did every single thing. So if I decide that I want to take faith alone by itself, and I think I'm going to be an expert and learn it correctly, I'm a fool. I'm an absolute fool. So I'm not telling you to take on faith and learning it, you know, go into these scriptures, memorize these scriptures, and look at the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that type of stuff, and to try to own that and think that faith is going to work for you because you know that. That is not what I'm taking on. I'm not saying to do that. Jesus Christ sowed the first original seed that he knew that we needed to be able to manifest what God wanted to manifest in our lives. It's not about you. As much as we wanted to make it about me, about us, it's about God. When you come into a kingdom, you're taking on the priority of the king. He owns you by your confession, right? So I own nothing. Me. I don't even own me. My king owns me. My king owns everything that I possess. It's all his. So when I come into an alignment with that, things should begin to change for me. So when Jesus Christ began his ministry, he began it saying this first thing as a command: repent. In response to the reality that God's kingdom is here, it is at hand, it has arrived. How do you know that's true? Because the king is here. Jesus Christ arrived. So the kingdom can't not be there if the king is there, if that makes sense, okay? So when we deal with that reality, then Jesus begins with kingdom as the foundation. Why would I want to go and look for another foundation other than what Jesus Christ has provided? It doesn't make sense. So if I want to be able to see faith through the perspective of Jesus Christ and through his lenses, I must first take the seed and allow it to be sown into my heart so it will produce what Jesus Christ promised that it would. So if I can't see the things of the kingdom of God, if I can't hear the things of the kingdom of God, and I can't perceive and understand the things of the kingdom of God, these realities of faith are not going to make sense to me, right? If you're trying to get them with your carnal mind, you can forget it. It's not going to happen. Doesn't mean you can't get something, but you're not going to get what God wanted us to be able to have. So what I'm saying is, when we're looking at this, make sure that you take the entire process, take the entire program, right? You shouldn't be on here, and you should have no appetite for any of this if you have no appetite for the kingdom of God. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care what religious identity that you've had or have. That should not be the case. Why? Because Jesus Christ made it so that is a requirement that we convert, right? Convert to the kingdom of God. Enter into the kingdom of God. Repent in response to the kingdom of God, right? And if that happens, yes, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Absolutely, right? It's a no-brainer. I want this kingdom. Why wouldn't I want this king? So then confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord and being reborn, it just makes sense, right? Asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, asking me to be filled and dwelled by the Spirit of God, right? It just makes sense, right? Do you see what I'm saying? But to think that you're going to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, reborn, have no desire for the things of the kingdom of God, won't convert, won't repent, none of that, and you're just going to go about your life in a religious way and think you're going to get everything that Jesus got. You're going to get aspects, maybe, at best, pieces of it, maybe, but it's just not going to work the way that it needs to work, okay? So, again, getting back into this thing, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse number 2. So, as we're looking at this, I will do my best to give you some background, okay? We don't have a ton of time in this one, but again, it's an open book text, right? So you can always read this. So I'm going to begin to read. And again, looking at Matthew 9, I begin in verse number 1. And he entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house.' And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men," right? And this is a story that's actually depicted in at least one other place in the gospel, but we're going to just stay where we are with this. And it's a beautiful thing to see that Jesus Christ is looking for faith, right? And it says that Jesus seeing their faith, right? So faith can be seen, right? And I know that Jesus Christ operates in a few very unique ways, okay, specifically in this passage. So when we're looking at it, then I love it because they show here, as far as the people that are with this young man, that they love, right? Love is an action. It's not just a word. And to be uncomfortable and to be able to be tenacious and to do all of that, not for your own benefit, right? It didn't say that these people got anything or received anything from doing what they did for their friend. And Jesus says he could see that faith. Does that make sense? And I believe that it, you know, scripturally it does say faith without works is dead. I absolutely believe it. I absolutely do, right? So for someone just talking about this great faith that they have without demonstration, that's not faith. That's hope, right? That's a hope. You have to really, truly believe it. And if and when you do, then it will be manifested in an action. Does that make sense? So when we're looking at this, then I want us to be able to understand the reality that this man has something going on that's absolutely unique. OK, and this is what I'm actually going to do. OK, during this, because I don't want to rush through this. I want to make sure that I can unpack this the best that I possibly can. So I'm going to pause, and then what I'll do is I'm going to continue in the next session, right, in the next podcast, so that we're going to begin with that. But I did want to make sure I made time to lay the foundation with some of the things I said. It's not a waste of time. You know, get into the kingdom curriculum, like I said. Take the full process. Decide that Jesus Christ is your rabbi, right? Resist the temptation and make other men your rabbi, right? I don't mean that, you know, people like me or a pastor or somebody can't teach or share some things. But don't make that your rabbi, right? Make Jesus Christ your rabbi alone, right? And if it don't align with that, be willing to depart from the individual. So this has been another super is natural in the kingdom of God, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in your everyday life. And I look forward to seeing you on our next podcast.